Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to Queen Vi's Reality Talk. I am your host, Queen Vi, alongside my co-host, Mr. Hakim Nuba.
Hey, 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 peace, Queen. How you doing?
I'm here. I'm pushing through. I'm completely over the weather. I'm completely over the pandemic. I'm just over. just want things to be somewhat normal. Again, it's draining, but I'm here. How are you?
Same here. I'm pretty much over this this creaky cold weather, and then it gets a little warm, and then it goes back to the wind blowing, and I don't know. I'll be glad when things stabilize a little bit. These old bones are starting to feel the weather now, so, you know.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm here. I'm trying to get myself together here, do a little picking me up. I almost grabbed the vodka, but instead I grabbed the iced coffee, so we're here.
God, a world we live in. We are going to have to, we should be supporting and helping each other more now than ever, just because the way that the world is. You know, we've already discussed this in past shows, how we are already born with two strikes against us. So, us working together would try to even the playing fields just a little bit.
The first step of working together is usually the brain, critical thinking, you know, and over the next few weeks, we're going to try to analyze this idea of unity, this idea of, all right, let's get this money together, let's build something, let's take care of each other, let's take care of our youth, instead of destroying the city and destroying your community, let's focus on building each other up and supporting our black people and loving our black people like we should. But first step of that is working smarter, not harder.
Yes, so that's what we will be talking about today on Talk Tuesday. We're going to discuss working smarter, not harder. Let's talk about things to do differently to achieve our goals. You can always join the conversation by calling in at 929-477-1436. Don't forget to press 1 on your telephone keypad to go live with us. This is a show about not only identifying the problems and acknowledging them, but setting forth certain goals and plans to make sure we go through with them. And so.
Yeah. You know, it's all about using those thinking skills. You know, y'all may have heard me say, everything starts in the mind. For everything starts in the thought, reality, you know, if we stop and thought things out on a critical level, we would see that we would get more accomplished because we're a bunch of doers. You know, I hear you say it all the time on this show, dude. We're very reactionary versus proactive. So just imagine if you were proactive. You know, mm-hmm. just imagine if you put a plan together and said, well, look, let me make this move to get to my goal faster. And you actually set off and did it. Just imagine once you get that goal accomplished, whether it's buying your car, buying a house, or whatever you're trying to do for yourself, getting that degree, imagine thinking it out instead of either one, not doing anything or procrastinating, or two, it going a long way. You know, it's we have to think things out and execute. Thinking. That's the whole purpose of this conversation. We forgot how to think, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. We can't sit around waiting for someone else to come up with a plan for us. We can't sit around waiting for someone else to actually follow through with the plan. And that's the problem. Sometimes someone has the solution for us, and we still do nothing about it. But what we need to realize is if we're on the ground floor and helping with that foundation of that plan, then we know what's going on from the beginning instead of sitting around waiting for somebody to figure it out for us and tell us what we have to do. Who knows better than us what we need to work on or what we may need help or what we need to fix? And so if we mm-hmm. sat down and got everything out in the open, laid on a table and dissected into different areas, because certain things are going to need a certain amount of attention and a certain type of attention, then it should be so easy to accomplish. And that's also the success of those plans is going to have a lot to do with who is in our circles. You have selfish people in your
yeah.
circle. You can't have people who want to sit around and just know you and be attached to you and not actually put any type of work or effort or support into what's going on, but they want to reap the benefits of that success. You know, you got to be willing to add something to it and also get your hands dirty. You know, you have to be able to, you know, be a benefit for the cause, not a liability.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that word liability is, that's key here. Because many of us have people in our lives that are liabilities. Let's, you know, we've had our toxic, get rid of toxic people show. Many of you have friends and family or a mate. That's a liability. You know, you're trying to get something done and they're always in the way. They're always, you know, asking for something or they're always, you always got to bail them out. Now, here you are trying to save. Here you are trying to invest in whatever it is, for whatever it is, and you got a girlfriend who's just doing what she's doing and she's making bad financial decisions and you don't want to leave her hanging, so you help her. Or you got a boyfriend who just can't stay his ass out of jail, so you got to keep coming up with bail money. Whatever it is, you know, you have to be able to identify a liability. You know, how is that working smarter? How is that improving your quality of life by your money and your energy and your time not going into the right directions for you? Instead, you got to deal with this bullshit. You know, you got to stop and you got to stop the positive stuff that you're doing to deal with the negative stuff someone else is doing. So I get it. You got to be able to trim the fat. It is so important. What's that term? Block your blessings? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what you're doing. That's exactly what you're doing. What would you, because I have a few questions, and it's all about their kids in school. Quick question for you, Queen. What is some tips you can give to a young college student in the realm of working smarter and not harder? Because a lot of moms and dads, got a couple dads that text me like, yo, how do I get this little motherfucker to work to do this shit? He's listening. I'm going to make him listen. So just to satisfy everyone's need to be angry at their kid for goofing off in school, what do you suggest?
Well, first of all, got to put a plan in place, and you also have to make sure that end goal is realistic. I know you mentioned, college students. For one, mm-hmm. I always say, make sure when you're getting into a field, it's something that you care about, something that you truly want to be a part of, because it's easier for you to kind of take it all in and learn it. Also, mm-hmm. set schedules are very important. You have to be able to allow enough time for each thing in your life. And if you're focusing on a degree, then you need to be able to put in that time that's needed to obtain that degree. People have to realize it's a different world than high school. So you have to make sure that you put all the time in. Also, make sure they have the resources, because if they want to be a doctor, all parents is not equipped to help their children study for their schoolwork or help them with their schoolwork for being a doctor. So they have to be able to say, listen, this is hard for me. I need help, and be able to get those resources, whether it's tutors, or whatever programs to kind of get that put in place. So acknowledging what someone's struggles are and not making them feel ashamed of their struggles. Because sometimes parents put too much pressure on their children. They may have never went to college. So now they got all this pressure on their children to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to make sure, like I said, one, it's a plan set in place to a realistic goal. A schedule is made to be able to allow each thing in their life, to get them enough time that it needs to be done, to focus on those things. And then you have to make sure whatever they're setting in those goals in that plan, they have the resources and the help and the support to get it done. Because mm-hmm. once you put too much pressure on someone, it becomes overwhelming, and eventually they may just drop out of it. And we can't set our personal goals on our children. We can't force our children to be certain things, because if it's not their passion, they're not going to put their all in, into it, because it's not what they really want to do. So when these plans and these goals is put in place, sit and have that conversation with your child. You're going to put your little say-so, your two cents in, which is good. But at the end of the day, it's their decision. You're the backbone, the support, for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the things you have to do to succeed in anything, whether it's being a student, whether it's trying to be a better employee so you can get that promotion or get that good review so you can get that raise, it requires the same elements and the same techniques. It's like, okay, first of all, if you're a student, you got to make sure you're getting the right amount of sleep. I just, mm-hmm. After having my youngest son with me for the last week, that's what I'm dealing with. If your sleep patterns are crazy and erratic, during the time you should be studying, you're going to want to sleep. To get a report done, because it takes a lot of work, a lot of research, a lot of this, or get some stuff done, I get that. But if your sleep patterns are all jacked up and you up all hours of the night not studying, you TikToking and IGing it up instead of resting so you can be up bright and early in the morning to handle your business. Get organized. Another key point. Make sure that everything is where it should be, so when it's time to use it, is at the tip of your fingers. You ever have somebody that got to get a report done for school and all the stuff they need and the research material and everything's at somebody else's house? So, mm-hmm. And it's like it's becoming easy to be lazy now for our students, for our kids, in the school stuff. There is no quick answer. It's just mm-hmm. We have to stay on top of them. We have to do follow-up. We have to make sure that they have the proper attitude. Because like you said, if they ain't in it, they're going to be all over the place. Yeah. And we can't ignore it. If you see your kid doesn't have a routine, you can't ignore it. Right? They have to stick to a routine to stay productive. I'm looking at the line. There's nothing but working people on this line. You know your routine. You know what you have to do, time you get up to the time you take it down. It's the same shit you do every single day. That's how you get shit done.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Can you imagine spending an hour and a half looking for your car keys to go to work? Or looking for your uniform to put on for work? No, your shit, you know what your shit is, and your shit is organized. You have to instill that into kids. Because while you're busy doing your routine, making money to take care of these little asses, they are doing things their way. And their way is about being fast, hurry, let me get it done so I can go do what I want to do. So a routine is so important. And if they're going to take breaks, they should be effective in okay, let me make sure I eat something. Let me make sure I go take care of what I need to take care of on my break time. There's nothing more annoying than seeing a kid who's on these video things on school and they turn the camera off and pull out a bowl of goddamn cereal, crunching and shit. They turned the mic off. They turned the whisper, and they're calling themselves listening with goddamn milk and shit dropping over the laptop. It drives me nuts. It shows that you don't have discipline and you're unorganized. If you see it, parents, check it. Because if you want them to succeed, you want them to get grades, you want them to graduate, or you want them to get their scholarship, you got to check them. Lay down some rules. Help them out. Whatever, to answer all the questions, there's no one trick pony here. There's no magical wand to wave. You have to figure out your kid, lay down some rules, help them, because some of them don't know how to manage themselves. Let's just be honest about that. If you leave them alone for 5 goddamn minutes, you don't know what the hell, you might come back to the house and be burnt down. So manage your kids, teach them how to prepare and execute, and by thinking it out ahead of time, that is working smarter. If you know what you're going to do tomorrow, By us knowing what our show's about Thursday, it takes about 4 hours worth of my time away. That means that's 4 hours I get to commit to something else. That's working smarter, not harder. Holy hell, Queen, I got the flyer for Thursday done.
Yep.
So it's like, because I knew what we're doing Thursday. Holy shit, look at that. Look at me being effective. So it's about, being able to handle what's in front of you. And for God's sakes, when you're in school, minimize the multitasking, because I almost forgot that one. Minimize the multitasking. You know, if you can, because some of y'all are in English class listening to the teacher, but you got another browser up doing math because you didn't do it last night.
You know, right.
Caught mine doing it. Wanted to throw his ass out the window when I saw it. So it's we have to pay attention to these kids, because they're not like us. They're not like us.
Yeah, and keep in mind, it's very important to keep your schedule, your tasks, your goals in front of you. In my living room, my section where they do their schoolwork at is their schedule. So right in front of them, it says what class it is, what teacher it is, what time. Also, when they have extra credit meets for at the end of the day, my children don't have a choice. Every day, you're going to go to at least one extra credit session each day of the week with a different teacher. Sometimes we don't realize that we have to step in and say, look, you're going to do this with no choice, because these aren't mandatory meets according to the school, but according to me, they're mandatory. And so sometimes we have to step in and say, listen, we have to, like Hakim said, pay attention, because I know different schools have their different systems where you can go online and see how your children are doing, whether they're turning in certain assignments, whether they're, you know, failing or doing good or whatever. Teachers, you leave comments and things. So then it's up to you as a parent. Say, okay, so in science, you know, he or she is doing good. But in math, I see he or she could be doing a little bit better. Stay in constant contact with these teachers. I'm telling you, when I see something, I don't care when I see it, I'm reaching out to that teacher. If it's during school time, you're going to get an email from me, because I know that teacher is going to get back to me. You have to have certain conversations with your children's teachers so they can know it's an open line of communication on both ways. Because some of y'all parents be ready to nag and fight and argue with teachers when it's you and the student's fault. It's the student's fault for doing certain things, but it's the parents for not enforcing it. To be a reward or consequence clause in these things. You know, they have to know, if I do what I'm supposed to do, this is the reward. If I don't do what I'm supposed to do, this is the consequence. And if we do these things when they're children, when they become young adults and go out in the real world, whether it's the work world or they move out and get their own apartment or whether they go to college or wherever it is, these things will be instilled in them. That's why some of these young adults act like they don't understand. I have to go to work so I can make money so I can get what I want to get or need to get, opposed to thinking everything's just going to come flat out, just come to them. Or when I get signed up for certain programs, instead of using it as a stepping stone, it's just a lot. They're lifetimers because their parents are lifetime.
Yep.
I know certain people whose grandmother was in housing. They were in housing. When they pass away, pass to their kids, and it's just like that. Those people have no desire to do anything different because they already know I never have to worry about a place to go because this is going to be mine one day. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just certain type of mentality that people get stuck into, and it repeats a cycle over and over again.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. How detrimental is how detrimental is procrastination from your viewpoint when it comes to succeeding and getting shit done?
it makes it harder. And let me explain to you why. Because if you had a month to do something and you wait until the last week, now you have to cram. Now, mind you, if you would have did a little bit every day, then it would have came together. Even if you would have did a couple of things each week. But now you have to rush and cram and possibly skip steps to get to the end result that you may not be successful at because now you skip steps to do it. And don't get me wrong, when it comes to certain things, people procrastinate. But you have to pick and choose which things you can hold off on. That's just like somebody knowing all their bills is due the first week of the month, but every check that you receive the second, third week, you went and spent it off and did what you wanted to do with it. Not what you had to do, but what you wanted to do with it. And then the fourth week, you're trying to squeeze and pinch and borrow and do extra little things to get it all to make ends meet when you could just budget that outright. And these for the ones who have that income to do that. You know, not the ones who are being so hit so hard by this pandemic that no matter what they do, you know, they're still falling short. I'm talking about the ones that have it coming in. You're putting more pressure on yourself than you need to, because you always have to be prepared for the what if. You always have to be prepared for the emergency, for the rainy day. That always tends to happen when you don't need for it to happen. You know? And so it's just certain little things. You have to sit down and write those list of things that you have to do. And then you have to make each one a priority in what of level of importance it is, so you can get those most important things out the way. Because some things you can't procrastinate with.
Yep. It's a killer of progress. Procrastination pisses me off. I have to admit, I've found myself doing it lately. You know, when I'm dealing with my own health issues, I go through the, I'll do it, you know, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm talking, I'm gonna do it at 1, you know, 1 o'clock gets here. All right, I'll do it at 4. Now I'm doing something else, but something that I know could only probably take me 10, 20 minutes. I keep pushing it off hours and hours down the road. And then here I am at 11 o'clock at night trying to get it done. So I see how that could be a problem for anyone succeeding. And I'm going to take my own advice here. if it's a task that you can complete, right, in a fair amount of time, just knock it out, get it done, and then come back and handle the big stuff. You know, we have to be aware of our own weaknesses and our strengths. And if you know procrastination is a weakness, then it's something to work on. I've never had this problem until, you know, the summer of last year. And I don't like it, and I don't want it, and I'm going to do my damnedest to get rid of it because it's going to damper my my ability to achieve my goals. Can't be procrastinating. Not how you're sitting on, I'm going to wait. The days of waiting is over. You know, you gotta get things done now. The world is way too weird for waiters, unless you're at a goddamn restaurant. So you just can't do it. In regards to the process of getting things done, as Dopeness writes in, it says, "What works for me is to write down the small and big goals on a post-it. On a mirror, etc. As I achieve them, I cross them out. Seeing yourself hit those points allows me to go hard as fuck." Talking. That used to be me back in the day, Queen. That used to be me back in the day. That's how you get shit done. You know, it's almost having a things to do list, and. In my own arrogance, I thought, I don't need that anymore. I am Hakim. I don't need that shit anymore. Yeah, well, guess what? I got me a whole book. And every day now, I'm be writing in it. This is the things that need to get done. I ain't say today. I ain't say tomorrow. Did you need to get done? The things that get done today gets crossed off. The things that didn't get done today gets rolled over to tomorrow's list. So and that's how you stay stay aware of your shit. Because think about how many things and, from day to day in your life that you, ooh, shit, I forgot. Right? Whether it's a little small bill or usually don't forget big bills. If you are, then we need to have a whole different show for your ass. But, you know, just something small or you forgot to take care of something and damn. Now you have to stop what you're doing to go deal with it because it was time sensitive. Doing that actual procedure of writing stuff down and leaving little notes for yourself, crossing them out, is brilliant. You know, I once saw a man who was worth about $19 million do it every day. And he explained to me why it was so important. I was a 20-something-year-old kid, and he was teaching me business. So, and I was like, well, shit, I'm doing things wrong. You know, we got technology now. We walk around with computers in our pockets, with apps to help you manage tasks. So there's no excuse for procrastination. There's no excuse for not keeping yourself organized. And it's just do the work. That's all. Just got to get shit done.
Yeah, gotta want it.
Now let's switch gears real quick because we got some real life things going on outside of school and work and. How about the people who are curious on how to. Build a better relationship, friends, family, loved ones. You know, let's try to use the last 20 minutes to cover that ground. It's a big-ass ground to cover. Repairing relationships, removing the toxic, you know, that whole. In regards to family, what do you think is the best way to work smarter and not harder, just involving the communications aspect of it?
As far as that is, first, everyone has to do their homework and be able to make it easy. If everybody wrote down whatever issues that they have, because being able to acknowledge what the issue is the first thing. And then for people to be able to sit down and have a conversation. But do understand that it has to be certain rules put in place. It has to be certain. Some people need mediators and some people don't. Some people have to be able to do it one-on-one, and some people are okay with doing it, you know, as a whole. But don't make it so tense. Like, for instance, once a month we have our ladies' night. It's about 8 of us. But now we don't have really huge problems. We're trying to avoid people having problems, because a lot of different things play a part when you have different personalities and people have their own lives that you're supposed to be able to spend time. And every now and then somebody may drop in to that ladies' night that someone from that group is not cool with. But we have this rule put in place. Whoever comes there are welcome there. That's for one. And for two, if someone comes there that is not necessarily on speaking terms, someone that's there before we leave, whether it's in front of everybody, with everybody, or off to the side, those people need to have a conversation. Now, everything may not be fixed all in one session, but they have to have a conversation for both people to be able to sit down and say, this is what I feel, this is my issue, you know, towards each other. Now, they may hug it out and get everything resolved that day. They may not. But at least they opened up that door and had that conversation. But another thing is, we as people also have to understand when something is fixable and when something isn't. Because people have this notion that just because someone is your family, you have to continue to put up with certain things. So if that person or those people aren't able to come to some type of common ground and give the mutual respect of both truly working on and understanding what the issue is to avoid it again, then they may have to just not, you know, because that's a part of letting go toxic people, because it's not always a relationship or a friend. It could be family members too. So that's why I said people have to be willing to acknowledge what their part in something is and fix it as well. It's not always, I'm going to come here so this person can apologize to me. I'm going to come here and see if I did anything to make this person feel this way, to the reason why they're acting this way towards me, kind of thing, you know? Or what is going on in this person's life is making them react this way and treat people this way. It's much deeper than that. So, I mean, that's my take on it. People being able to acknowledge their part in the problem, figure out what the problem is, and figure out how can we fix it, or whether it's fixing ourselves or doing things differently on the way we interact with people, or if we even need to have those people in our life at all. Because let's be honest, some people are who they are, and if we continue to make excuses, because that's an excuse, you know, how come you have that one person that might just be a total bitch to any and everybody, and they'd be like, oh, that's just such and such. That's just how she is. No, that's how she is to you. An ex tried to say that to me about his sister. I said, no, that's how she is to y'all. But she got the right one and the wrong one here within me. So we have to stop making excuses for people. Because whether it's right or wrong, they will continue to do it. Because they know that's an excuse. Or, well, he going through a divorce, so he just drink a little bit every now and then. You know, it won't pass, because then it's going to become a habit. And once
an addiction. And once it started affecting his day-to-day, in the way he moves, in the way he interacts, in his relationship with others, now it's just not his problem anymore. It's everybody's problem. So we have to really be able to dissect and sit down and really, really get to the root of things, because everything is not surface as we think it is.
Mm-hmm.
But communication is going to play a big part in it. Communication and accountability.
Yeah, it's very important to establish some rules on how to coordinate the proper communication system in a household or with your mate or your family or whatever. You know, it's one, making sure that everyone's willing to communicate, to hold everyone accountable when they aren't. And three, that the communication system should be free-flowing, non-judgmental environment type deal. And you would always want people to feel safe. You know, it's one thing to be non-judgmental. It's another thing to feel safe in what I'm about to say. I need to know that I'm in a safe place, what I'm about to say to y'all. It ain't going to leave. It's not going to be repeated. It's not going to be thrown back at me later in an argument, right? When you clear those hurdles, usually people just let it rip, and they just talk. They tell you what's on their mind, what they like, what they don't like, what you did to piss them off. And most importantly, you need to create an environment that has its has a consistency to it, right? You remember back in the day, back in the day, it was you. Pardon me. You had to come at the table and eat. We didn't have cell phones, so everyone came at the table and eat. Mom and dad asked how your day was, or someone starts talking, and next thing everyone's talking about their day. That is a system. It's a consistent system that went throughout the family. That's how the family knew what was going on, right? Those heavy issues, maybe one of the kids pull mom and dad to the side. They want to talk to y'all directly. They don't want the siblings to know what they're going through. But overall, there was a way to communicate amongst the family, and you knew that was dinner time. Now we have to figure out how to get that back or to get some modern version of it. Shout out to Chris. Chris says Tuesday is game night. Game night, and we talk. Yeah. There you go. That's one way of doing it. But you have to create an environment where I know that I can talk to so and so, or I know that's the day where we all bleed our guts out, right? Whatever was pissing us off all week, we're gonna have a little drum circle or some shit. Bottom line is, you got to find a way to structure the family around safe and important communication skills, because without it, you got a bunch of people walking around with their ass on their shoulders and pissed off, and nobody knows who the fuck mad at who. You got to wait for a fight to break out. That's when the yelling start. And once the yelling start, that's when all the venom come out. And once you dig through all that damn venom and stupid, that's where you hear what's bothering the person.
Yep.
So you have to get out your feelings sometimes. And the best way to get out of your feelings is just to do some good old-fashioned effective communicating. And it is if you want your family to move and get shit done in an effective way with less stress, be a family that communicates.
Right.
You know, be a family that communicates. All right, let's talk. Spouses, boyfriends, fiancés. I got all this shit thrown at me now. Anybody listening and anybody in, but hit the number one if you want to get a word in. You know, instead of doing the inboxes of the DMs. I'm not in the my health ain't in the best today, y'all, so forgive my energy. But I'm trying to read this stuff best way I can. So, okay, Queen, what do you think about couples who are struggling and they're going through some stuff and they're getting counseling? What are some of the tips to make that process? And I'm just talking about the counseling. Getting some of us to go to counseling is like pulling teeth. So what are some of the tips or suggestions you would give to someone to relate to them that, hey, going to counseling is a good thing. It's to improve. You know, it'll make you guys a more successful unit.
And so going to counseling would teach each person how to communicate, because some people don't know how to effectively communicate. You know, they're talking, they're having conversations, but it's not sticking. And it could be delivery, timing, or whatever. Also, counseling is good because you have someone who do not know either one of you guys, and from a professional standpoint, can be able to pick hidden reasons, deeper reasons to why things are going south. Also, it should be a place where both people can speak freely, because like I said, some people need a mediator, someone in the middle, to be able to calm it down when things about to get a little too heated, or break it up into sections, because everything is not going to be able to be done overnight. I'm an advocate for counseling, whether it's couples counseling, individual counseling, family counseling, because sometimes things that affect the relationship has absolutely nothing to do with the relationship, and it can have something to do with what a person is going through internally or what a person went through growing up. Shout out to Barbara Ann, because she helped people with those things. Sometimes people are just angry and they just don't know why. So I'm an advocate for counseling. And counseling helps get to the root of things, and it also helps be able to fix those things, you know, so it can help with their present and their future. Sometimes you got to dig back, live some stuff, you know?
I like to tell people, because when you think about it, going to counseling is working smarter, not harder. Because imagine you're trying to come to an agreement with your mate, and you're trying to, no matter how much you talk, they're not getting it. It's not sinking in. You spend days and days, weeks and weeks, months and months repeating yourself, and it's not sinking in. It's probably how you're doing it, or you just got someone that don't give a shit, one or the other. Going to counseling, I have learned that it gets straight to the point. These professionals know how to carve through all the unnecessary bullshit, and everything comes out very fast. It's like you turn on a faucet, all the shit comes out, right? So just imagine the things that it took you weeks and months to try to get your partner to understand, your counselor or your therapist or whatever you want to call them managed to get to it in one or two sessions. Is that not working smarter and not harder? Because at the end of the day, if you love the person you're with and you care for them, the goal is to find a solution to the problem. Find the problem, beat the problem, and move on. So you can sit there and keep playing around with it and pretending that you're actually getting something done by arguing every goddamn night, or you can take your ass to counseling and let a therapist hear both sides of the story and analyze it and get you two to talk to each other instead of at each other. So, yes, there is a system of working smarter, not harder, even in relationships, for the good and the bad. Another one here, This one is from Tiffany. Tiffany is saying that her and her fiance are trying to buy a house. We are having disagreements about joint accounts and should we do it before or after marriage. And we're even arguing about should we file as joint once we get married. What do you guys think? I think by doing so, we will be working smarter, not harder. He says otherwise. Please help.
Well, they both have their own things that they think should be done and how it should be done. So this one you have to go to a financial counselor and be able to sit down so it can be a realistic goal set in place because they will basically take all your finances and be able to tell you what your options are as far as saving, what can go towards the house, how long it would take to reach your goal, et cetera, et cetera. Of course, we as people know how much, you know, we make and how much we may need to buy a house, but the little things in between, the steps to accomplish that, we may not have it all figured out. That's not our field of expertise, especially when you have two people who both have their own opinion on what needs to be done. It's okay to get outside help. Take some home ownership classes so both of you guys can learn where it's not just one person learning and trying to teach someone else something. Both go in, make some time and learn it together, talk to the people together, and both are able to address their concerns and also let the person know what their ideas are, what their needs are, and then be able to come put something together where both people are happy. Because that is, purchasing a house is a big thing, you know. Joint bank accounts, that's a big thing. Me personally, if it's going to be something that's an account for the bills and stuff for the home, that's one thing. But both people still should have their own accounts. That's just me anyway. Plus, you have to think about joint accounts. Is with people financially responsible? You know, what is people contributing? What are they spending stuff on? Because it's definitely not a good idea to have a joint account with someone who don't know how to manage money and, you know, and don't do what they're supposed to do with their money. That's going to affect how the bills and stuff are paid. So these are conversations to be had before, you know, the I do's, before the buying of the houses, before, you know, before you get into these big, you know, agreements, which is good. They're having thinking about it. But now they see what we are trying to do together is not working. Now it's time to get outside help.
Yep. I absolutely agree. We have to make a plan before you start passing rings around. It's good that y'all are having these, believe it or not, this is a healthy dialogue right now because you guys haven't made any financial investments. Have the dialogue, have the debate, work it out, figure it out. Even if you have to go to counseling for that, do it, because you have to come to some kind of agreement so you can make a plan. You can't make a plan, of an effective one, without you guys agreeing on important topics. You know, because you guys know each other. You know your spending habits. It's just reading the tone of the message and the question. There may be something there. So if you know that one of you or both of you have a spending habit, by keeping control of that, by holding each other responsible and staying honest to each other, a joint account is what I would recommend. If you were sitting in front of me and I was doing a financial assessment of you of whether you should invest in a business and I'm looking at how you spend money, I would tell you that. Because by having a joint account, you know what both of you have coming in. Yes, you still have a little account somewhere private. That's where you put your private stuff. But the money that controls the house should go in one pot. When the mortgage man comes to take his cutout, it should come out of one account. You know, so if you consolidate your funds in at least one source, you can now manage it effectively. That is working smarter, not harder. You have a plan. You know how much you need to put in there to get that deposit down, that down payment down, because you know what your credit scores look like. You go talk to a mortgage person before, and I'm not talking about at the bank you're going to get the loan from, and a mortgage advisor. Right? That's the person you're going to talk to. They're going to look at things, and they're going to give you a laid out plan on how to successfully get a mortgage that you both can live with. Talk to them, then you go get the bank. That's working smarter, not harder, because you're taking the necessary steps to learn the shit that you got to go through. So, yeah, I'm with you, Tiffany. I hope it works out. Shout out. This is Tiffany's first time listening. She's coming out of Detroit. So as far as I know, you're the first person I know from Detroit listening. So shout out.
Welcome, and we hope we were able to help you.
Yeah. You know, it's good stuff. Because that's a real topic, though. You know, it's you got couples who care about each other who's trying to make them big moves for the future, and they don't agree. You know what I mean? So it's good. It's good. I love seeing it. Some people may say that's a bad thing. No, I don't. I think it's a good thing. It's best to figure it out now before y'all start cutting checks than to do it after you start cutting checks. Then you trying to pay a mortgage every month while y'all beefing. So, nah, work that shit out now in the early process of things. But let's close this up, Queen, because we got about 2 minutes left. And, you know, I just wanted to say that, you know, this topic is important to me because this was not just me talking shit on the show. This was a message to myself and the things I need to work on and the things that I'm being told I need to work on. So, yes, even I have regulators regulate me, and I do that to keep me honest and keep me focused. So this show is important, and I know it is probably a little on the dry side. It wasn't exciting, but I hope everybody got something out of it. Queen, you there? All right. It looks like her line got disconnected. All right, Queen, call back. Call back. Get you back in so we can close up and go home. Well. Here we are.
Okay, I don't know what happened.
You there?
I'm like, did I lose him or did he lose me?
Nah, okay. You dropped off with these damn gremlins.
Uh-huh.
Start dropping knowledge, I'm telling you.
Yep.
So, all right, we're down to a minute, Queen.
Okay. I want to thank everyone for interacting with us on the social media pages, for writing in. Also, for everyone who listens and continue to listen, you guys are appreciated. If you have more topic ideas, more questions, feel free to send them. We have a Q&A coming up, and you know that's a variety of different topics as well. Brace myself, I can, for the Q&A, Thursday Q&As. But it's appreciated. You keep us on our toes. Any shout outs or last words before I end the show?
Nope. Thanks for listening, y'all.
Okay, so that concludes our show for tonight. Until next time, good night, everybody.
Peace, y'all.